Authentic Agent. I'm joined by my partner in crime today, Kyle Bates, and we are, you know, kind of excited about having this conversation. A little nervous, Kyle, a little nervous because we agreed that we were going to be really honest.
Yeah, it's a vulnerable conversation.
Yes, it is going to be a vulnerable conversation, but today's conversation is really about, you know, how did we manage our way through February, March, April, May? Like, you know, going through the idea of this pandemic and the new challenges that it presented us. And we just want to have a conversation today about, you know, what were some of the things we did well and what were some of the things that we didn't do well? What challenges did we face? And hopefully some of you out there listening can relate a little bit to our story and maybe grab a few things that you can do to improve your situation from this conversation as well. And we encourage you to share. You know, if you're checking us out live on YouTube or Facebook, share your comments.
Facebook.
Share your comments. And Kyle, where can everybody find us?
So we're on every podcast platform. You can download us at Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google, Stitcher. I'm sure I'm missing a few, but please go on there, subscribe so that you can be aware of any new content we're putting out as soon as we upload it. So definitely we appreciate that. Thank you, guys.
Yeah. So, I mean, we all kind of know the quarantine for us, at least here in Arizona, started on Sunday, March 15th. And we'll get to that, you know, in a second. But I want to back up a little bit to the beginning of February, even late January, when we first started to kind of have this conversation. What is this? What is happening? Why is it happening? And what should we start to anticipate in our business? And that really came from, you know, multiple conversations with our coach and us just, you know, kind of probing him a little bit and saying like, hey, you know, this is happening, right? And everybody had, you know, really early opinions in January and February and, you know, and still do on this topic, but, you know, real or not, or all the conspiracy theories or all of the political nonsense wrapped around it, what we knew early in February was this was going to create change. This was going to force a shift. And it didn't really matter how we felt about it. We had to prepare for that moment.
Yeah. Well, I think I can be open and honest and say I'm always the glass half full guy.
You are.
So yeah, I am. I mean, we have to yin and yang each other sometimes, but, yep. But I was in denial. Like, I remember hearing that conversation with our business coach and he was like, we got to get ready there. Be prepared to not sell houses for 90 days. Be prepared to not sell houses for 6 months. And I was like, no way. Like, everything would collapse. The world would fall apart. Maybe it has, I don't know. But either way, I just couldn't wrap my mind around it. But Brandon, you were leaning into it and you're like, I'm not saying it's going to happen, but let's just prepare for it. Let's get ready. And so we did. I mean, we quickly were just like, okay, if this was the case, if we weren't able to do this, like, let's make sure to check out our budget. Let's go through the P&L again. Let's really stretch ourselves. And we're, as a business, we always try and run really lean. We always try and cut out the fat, not spend money unnecessarily. But at that time we went, okay, there's stuff in here that raise your hand analogy and then try and raise it a little bit more. Mm-hmm. So that was our first preparation for it. But to be honest, when we had that conversation that weekend, the 14th and the 15th of March, it was terrifying because even if we were prepared for it as much as we could, we had no idea what this was going to look like. And I remember talking and being like, hey, are we going to, first off, just power through and just like have these group meetings and pretend like nothing happens until we're literally forced and kicked out of the office? Or do we take a proactive stance? And if we take a proactive stance, are we going to piss a lot of people off? Are we going to, are we going to end up with a business that just leaves us and we have no money in 3 weeks? Where are we at? And I don't know, like this whole thing was so, had so much uncertainty surrounding it. I was just terrified. And I think you felt the same way. You were a calming voice to me at the time, but yeah, man, what did you feel?
Yeah, I think we traded the calming, you know, voice back and forth. You know, we kind of just traded that baton back and forth for a few weeks there. You know, I think, you know, I've got a great deal of confidence in our ability to shift. We are certainly not the type of people that bury our heads in the dirt and just want everything to stay the same. As a matter of fact, in our business, we've always pushed for change and progress, especially when it comes to you know, really creating, you know, a positive path for our agents, for our clients, for the industry in general. My biggest concern as you know, especially as January and February went on, my absolute biggest concern was the political and ideological differences that were really starting to show up on social media. They were starting to show up even in our business and in our staff and our agents and, you know, and listen, I mean, we've got a right to free speech and we've got a right to all of that. But it doesn't mean that that speech doesn't have negative consequences. And I really started to kind of wonder, like, okay, how will we manage this? How will we manage people having different views, you know, whether they're political or ideological differences? You know, how are we going to help everybody in our organization find a common ground to stand on, a place that we can all meet? And I thought, man, you know, I hope that our community and culture already has that. I remember sitting there going, I was Friday the 13th, and you could feel the anticipation building, like this is like something's happening. Something big is going to come down the pipe and it's going to change everything. I could feel it on March 13th. It was Friday the 13th. I felt it that day. Mm-hmm. And I really went into that weekend, and you and I got ahead of it because, you know, the quarantine wasn't announced until Sunday the 15th. And I remember you and I on Friday, we left the office late on Friday. We worked all weekend, and we just knew, we're just like, we have to, like, everything that we do in the office has to get online quickly. Mm-hmm. Like we have to be able to adapt really quickly. So,
well, to be honest, like with our business, we got lucky in the aspect of just seeing that for scalability purposes, we needed to get a lot of our business online back in December. So we started making those shifts prior. We just needed to speed it up. We needed to be ready within a weekend, make sure it was all done and all ready, because we were kind of running this hybrid online, not online model for our meetings and our huddles and our coaching. And that weekend we just went, okay, we just need to make sure we're all in. We got to make sure our Zoom account's updated. We got to make sure everything's working properly. And, you know, Monday rolled around. We still had mess ups technology wise, but we were real close.
Yeah. You know, and the funny thing was, is I would have thought we were much further away at that moment. Yeah. I really did. I would have thought we were much, much further away. And I think it would also be fair to say that, you know, the quarantine, the pandemic in general, just accelerated everybody's acceptance Mm-hmm. of doing things online. So I think there's still some truth to that. Maybe we weren't as close as we would have been had this not happened, because you have to get buy-in from people. You have to get buy-in that, hey, this is okay. Getting buy-in when you change organizational structure is maybe one of the biggest challenges a growing mm-hmm. business can face, is getting people bought into the idea of change and progress and doing things differently. Naturally, when we do things differently, we come out of our comfort zone, and that's always a challenge, hands down. But here's, you know, this saying resonates with me for that weekend. Because I think we knew specifically on Sunday when the quarantine, you know, was ordered, it was like, okay, here it is. But there's a quote, you know, there's a saying that your work expands so as to fill the time available for its completion, right? Parkinson's Law. Mm-hmm. And I'm amazed at what we got done on literally a Sunday morning to like that same Sunday evening. And it was funny because we actually had a you know, part of our group coaching that Monday, which would have been Monday, March 16th, the day after the quarantine was ordered. We sprung right to life with, you know, we had an in-person big group coaching session that Monday. It was supposed to be in our office. We had Tina Tambier coming to speak to our entire team. And we reached out to her on Sunday and just said, can we do this online? And she had never done it online either. Now it's like, she's everywhere doing it online, like 12 times.
She's an expert now, Zoom. Yeah.
Yeah. But, in that moment, it was just like, you know, I think even she, to a certain degree, was like, maybe we should just cancel this. And we were just like, no, we need this. We need to absolutely stay engaged right now. And that, you know, that brings us to the conversation of shifting. And I think in that moment, one of the things we did well, and I don't know that we did it on purpose. I think maybe it's just kind of the way that we operate, but, the habits, they have to match the emotional intensity of the situation. Mm-hmm. And let's face it, that was an emotionally charged weekend, and the weeks after that were very emotionally charged for everybody. And you know, I thought to myself during that time, it's like, you can have fear-based habits, or you can have attack-based habits right now. Mm-hmm. And I think our natural inclination in a time like that, when we are in kind of a real intense emotional situation, is there's a heightened level of stress and anxiety that comes mm-hmm. along with that.
Yeah.
And stress makes us want to unplug, right? It tells us, let's wait and see, let's sit back, let's wait and see what happens. And I don't think that's ever been us. Like I did in that moment, I wasn't interested in waiting and seeing. I was interested in let's go.
Well, right? we always tell ourselves, and we always remind everyone in our business, we'd rather be proactive than reactive. Like that's such a major piece of this whole thing. And I think there's also a common misconception that if you just pretend like it's not happening, that that's not a fear-based habit. That is a fear-based habit because you're afraid of change, whether you're afraid of the circumstances surrounding it. It means you're afraid of change. It means you're not willing to adapt and adjust because the market's changed. The way we sell houses has changed, not drastically. I mean, there's still the traditional method, but this was a catalyst for creative business practices. This was a catalyst for massive and both positive and negative change. Like a lot of businesses shut their doors. A lot of people realized this wasn't for them. A lot of people didn't want to deal with the stress anymore. And that's completely okay. But the people that are succeeding and the people that are succeeding at the highest levels got creative, got ready, prepared, jumped into this, ran at the problem. And it's just cool to see not only within our business, but in all these other businesses, just watching it. It's such an interesting time sociologically to watch the businesses that are succeeding, the practices that are really becoming commonplace. This whole work from home thing is a pro and a con. It's like, there's a lot of positives and a lot of negatives, and it's just really cool to see how the world adapted.
Yeah. Well, you know, anytime in a shift, there's two things that happen in a shift is the first one is mental, right? Like how quickly can you mentally shift? And then how quickly can you take that mental shift and turn it into action? Mm-hmm. And a lot of times, you know, people want to wait and get ready. And I think that's one
paralysis
of
the things, by analysis.
Yeah. One of the things that happens there is that, you know, you're waiting to make sure that your actions are worthy. Mm-hmm. You might as well take action while you're waiting because you can evaluate while you're taking action. There's really no reason to wait. So I think that, you know, that's an important topic here is acceptance, is mm-hmm. identifying when you're in a shift. How quickly can you accept that change is happening, right? And that's a very difficult thing for us. Most of us, our natural inclination is just to wait and see and, you know, let fear and anxiety kind of paralyze us in the moment. And, you know, we're almost waiting for another voice to, like, you know, give us permission to get started again. And I think that we know that inherently. We've known that, drawn from our experience. I drew a lot from my experience with the crash in 08 and, you know, some of the naive decisions I made leading up to that, how I buried my head in the sand. And, you know, we really just didn't want to go down that path. And so I think we drew from some experience there and said, action is very, very important right now. We need to leap into action. And looking back on it, I think that's, you know, one of the things we did really well. It's a very simple thing, but you've got to leap into that, get yourself to acceptance and then leap into action. Well, let's be honest too, because one of the things that we always promise ourselves and the people that listen is that, you know, we're not here to do the stage talk thing. We're not here to, you know, throw the peacock feathers up and just tell everybody all the things that we did great. You and I were having conversations on a daily basis, sometimes multiple times a day, mm-hmm. from that March 15th, certainly leading up to that, but it really picked up March 15th for the subsequent next 2 or 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. We sat there in a great deal of, we'll call it fear. We just didn't let fear lead us, but let's call it what it was. It was fear. It was like, what is this going to mean for us?
Well, who didn't have fear then? Like, I'm not talking about, again, around the virus or anything. I'm talking about business. Anyone who ran a business and wasn't afraid at that time is either in deep denial or just plain, I won't say it, but,
yeah, but really, it's just really insecure about the honest moment that they were in. Yeah.
Exactly. I just remember, having this really weird feeling of like sitting at a table and everything's fine and talking to you like, hey, we're doing great. Our numbers are going up. but the world was on fire around us. And I was just like, is it going to engulf us, or are we really just okay?
Yeah.
And it was this really strange moment in time, because we had shifted online really quickly, and our agents were all prepared to do their meetings virtually and to do virtual walkthroughs and do everything. And I mean, that definitely became a player during that time, along with our title company and our lenders and everyone we really trust. We're all in this transitional and shifting process, but our numbers were going up. Our contracts were at better rates weekly than they had been the rest of the year prior. So it was so strange having to talk to you every day and really feel like we had to calm each other down, because we were saying, okay, financially things look good, business-wise things look good, but when's this all going to collapse? When's this all going to end? Like, is it all going to end? I don't know. What else do we need to do to be prepared? Are we prepared enough? And that drive, I think, actually got us to the other side, just feeling like we were never doing enough, because we just dove in.
Yeah. That's an important point too, is what you were talking about there is in the moment right then we were doing okay. Right. We were doing okay, but we've talked about this in the past. There's certain things that happen in our industry that have a tendency to borrow buyers from the future.
Yep.
Like the tax credit thing, back in, when was that? 14 or 12. I can't even remember at this point. It seems like these years go by so fast, but same thing. We borrowed buyers from the future, and people that were on the fence, got off the fence, got involved real quick. And then we got to a certain point where like things really fell off. So for me, even though we were seeing record numbers, especially in March, we had a spike in cancellations right there in the beginning. And then that spike in cancellations not only leveled off, but the pendulum swam in the complete other direction, where we all of a sudden, now we were having less cancellations. And then May, we do 48, sales in a single month for 15, 16 million. And all of those contracts were put in after the quarantine. So to us, we're like, okay, well, the action that we took early on is certainly paying off, but we are always very mindful in this business that the work that we're doing today, we'll see the results for that in 90 days, mm-hmm. at a minimum, and certainly likely between 3, 6, 9, 12 months and ahead. So my mind was always, where are we at in July, right? Mm-hmm. Where will we be in September? Not just for the current situation, but as we've seen this unfold from COVID now to, this massive inequality conversation that has taken center stage from the nation, and rightfully so. And then we're going to stack, we're going to politicize both of those things. We're going to have dramatic change in the way people are willing to express their ideological differences. And then we have an election coming on top of that. So we have some challenges ahead of us. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what you and I just inherently knew, is that this is a 2020 fight. This is not a March, April, May thing, right? Like, we have to look at this as a 2020 business. And I remember saying that, approach your business. This was back in March, April. Approach your business like it's a 2020 business right now, not an April, May business. And I think that's good advice no matter where you're at, is you always have to have a mind for, where am I going? What am I building my business towards? And that was, weird times, like really, really weird times. And I'm not afraid to say, on a daily basis, I wasn't entirely sure where we're going. I was just committed, to taking action and figuring it out. I didn't want to wait.
I also think, luckily, thanks to the content we've consumed in the past, we know that when a market shifts, it never goes back to normal. There's permanent changes that happen there. And we were always on the lookout for, what are those permanent changes? What are those permanent adjustments, and how do we make our business better for the rest of the year?
Yeah. And we really drew from that experience, and we created kind of an acronym inside of our business that we really led with after that, maybe second or third week. And we jumped into,
Shout out to Josh Baker, who came up with the acronym for us.
Yeah. Like I was telling everybody, I was like, listen, there's four things that we need to be really, really committed to as business people right now. One, we need to stay engaged. Mm-hmm. We absolutely have to be engaged in the conversation every day. And as leaders, it's our job to create that conversation, right? Whether it's through morning huddles, or whether it's through our group coaching, our monthly team meeting, tidbits and videos that we're dropping into our business constantly, like engagement has to be high, because everything's changing. Fear and anxiety is setting in. We need to help everybody with the narrative to speak, to articulate to the, you know, to their sphere, to their clients. We have to lead our way through this. So engagement was important. The second thing was awareness. You know, we're big on empathy. Like it's very important to understand how people feel about the process. Like it's hard to serve somebody and help them achieve their goals without being aware of what's important to them. What is their, you know, what are the emotional complexities wrapped up in this for them? And then three was be supportive right now. Our job's not to sell. Our job, you know, we have to adjust. We have to be really good listeners. We have to empathize again with people and be supportive of their situation. Like just because you can buy or sell, maybe their fear is I want to sit back and wait. Don't push them, right? Give them the information that we need, but we're all learning as the days go by new information. So it's just important to be supportive. And then the last one was stay educated. Right? Because you can't be supportive. It's difficult to be, you know, aware and help people during this time if you're not educated about what's going on. So engaged, aware, supportive, and educated. And then, of course, Joshua Baker on our team says ease, E-A-S-E. And we're like, oh, my gosh. Yeah. So let's handle this very difficult situation with ease. Let's stay engaged. Let's be very aware of what's happening. Let's be very supportive of the people in our lives, whether it's our clients, our team, our staff, our families, whatever that looks like. And then let's recommit to education, not the broader scope of education in real estate, but let's be educated about what's happening in our market. Why is it happening? And how can we use that education to be supportive and pass that on to our clients and other people in the industry? How can we lead people forward through fear?
Yeah, that tool has been so, I mean, essential to our business right now. Like knowing what's going on, plugging in, speaking with our lender, making sure we know what's going on with these changes in interest rates and lending guidelines and everything so that our clients can feel like we're the lighthouse that can guide them through this situation. And then also just being plugged into what's going on in the market and the shifts and the changes and the competitiveness and everything that's so different than what you'd expect during a time with high unemployment and a time with all this uncertainty. The buying and selling is through the roof. If we didn't know this stuff, if we weren't educated, if we weren't plugging in, how could we articulate this to our clients? How could we articulate this to our sphere so that they can bring more business to us and make sure that we're doing what we need to do to build a better and bigger business through this weird time?
Yeah. I think I'm quoted a lot by saying, you know, education without implementation is just entertainment. And, you know, I've also been very, very open and honest about how I believe our industry focuses you know, on education as more of an entertainment piece. Like we're always trying to find new education to engage agents with.
Well, but it becomes an excuse not to work.
Yeah. Yeah. But the real challenge in education is, you know, you don't just go to a class or you don't just go hear, you know, Tina at the Cromford Report speak once and then you're like, yep, got it. Mm-hmm. Education is a commitment. It's a commitment to building a deeper and broader understanding of what we're doing, why we're doing it, how it benefits you, and what's in it for your clients. Mm-hmm. Education is a commitment, not just a commitment to being at a class, but a commitment to understanding the material first, and then a commitment to putting it to practice until you've created mastery. That's, you know, education is really about leading yourself through that funnel and understanding it. It is, you know, I don't know something because I show up once, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm not a master at something because I've done it once successfully. Mm-hmm. And that's really what we wanted to communicate to our people was we need to be engaged and educated. Engage yourself in the conversation, commitment to the key educational pieces, not just from a real estate perspective on how we perform in our business, but specifically educated about what's happening and how it impacts our business. That way you can talk to clients, talk to people in your life, you know, with some more depth around what they're feeling, right? What they're seeing on the news, what's real versus what is, you know, what's national news, what's Maricopa County specific. And it's just, you're never going to really gain clarity on any of that without a massive commitment to be engaged in the conversation and to be educated about these key topics.
Absolutely.
In short, you know, I've had a couple of conversations, you know, over the past 3 or 4 weeks, and people ask me to come on, do podcasts or do webinars and stuff. And I'm seeing the same common question pop up a lot of times. Like, well, what do you do to get business now that COVID-19 is here? And it's just like, COVID-19 hasn't really changed the core aspects of how we get business in real estate. Sure, it has created challenges around open houses. It's created challenges around event-based client strategies. Sure, it's created challenges, but we're still in a communication and relationship building game. Like, the core foundation of building any real estate business on relationships is communicating your desire to be a professional resource to the people that matter most to you in your life, your friends, your family, your past coworkers. If you're into hobbies, like you're involved in your gym or your church or you're playing volleyball or softball or whatever, like you're in a craft group at Michael's, it doesn't matter what it is, but like, how seriously are you taking your business and communicating it to the people that already love and care about you? We've talked a lot in the past about, we've always had this saying, it's not enough to be liked or even loved. If you're a real estate agent to the people around you, you've got to go from being liked and loved as a person to being trusted as a professional, because people don't say yes to you unless they trust you. So what we're really trying to do is use COVID or this pandemic as some sort of excuse to be like, oh, I got to lead generate a different way. All of a sudden I'm going to get business a different way from some magical source. Like, no. The core fundamentals still exist. They might be even more important now. You have to connect with people. You have to avoid perceived indifference, because that's a real thing. Whether you want to admit it or not, perceived indifference might be the number one reason agents are not succeeding today.
Yeah, and it's not even might be. I mean, the fundamentals are so critical right now. And how many times do we talk about earning trust and confidence? Like, this is the time to earn trust and confidence. But on top of it, there's never been an easier time to earn trust and confidence. With so much uncertainty out there, if you can be that guiding light, if you can be that voice, you have such an amazing opportunity to earn trust and confidence in a short amount of time. Yes. Especially with so much negativity out there, when you can bring to light the positive situations, the interest rates, the market, the equity, all these things that people aren't necessarily seeing on the news or paying attention to, or whatever algorithm on social media they're looking at, it's not bringing that to the top, because people are focused on the negative right now. People are focused on the fear. So how are they going to find out about this unless they have someone like you in their life that's going to go out and earn that trust and confidence to show them where the positive aspects are, where, and I'm not saying the other things aren't negative, because this is positive. It doesn't offset. It's one, they're on two different sides of the coin. They don't have to, they can coexist. They don't have to be because of each other, but show them, hey, like, there is some positive things. If you've thought about making a move, if you've thought about refinancing, like, how helpful is that? Think about a friend of yours that's in a different industry. If they came to you with positive news or good advice on how you can save money or good advice how you can get to that end goal that you've been looking to do for a long time, how helpful and how appreciative you'd be. It's the same situation. You need to look at it from that perspective to really truly be that person who's willing to go out there and earn that trust and confidence.
Yeah. And I love it, because earn trust and confidence is one of the core principles of our business. And back to engaged, aware, supportive, and educated, you're not going to earn trust and confidence in a market like this unless you are educated about what's happening. And you can articulate what's happening in a way that, you know, allows you to be a calming voice for a potential client or someone that matters in your life, someone that you're trying to build trust and confidence with. It's very difficult to be able to articulate these things, empathize with them, be a calming voice if you are not engaged and you are not educated about what happened. And one of the biggest mistakes real estate agents make is they'll be engaged and they'll do the education thing for a couple of weeks, and it'll fall off as a core priority for their business on a weekly basis. And when things are changing this fast, when the conversation is changing this fast, and it becomes more and more important for you to be able to sit down with somebody who is coming from a place of fear and scarcity and help them understand what's happening and what they can do about it, what solutions, what options they have. You have to be calm and articulate, empathize with them, and educate them. So if you're not putting any time towards developing that part of yourself daily and weekly, it's going to be very difficult for you to earn trust, earn new clients over time. Because, I mean, I hate to, you know, go back to this and simplify it down to something as simple as people don't say yes to you unless they trust you.
Yeah.
And if you're going to be trustworthy, then you're going to have to do some things to earn it.
Well, your empathy needs to be greater than your ego. I mean, that's just such a critical aspect of this. When you don't practice empathy, when you don't make sure you're going out there to earn it, when you don't make sure you're not going into every situation to be neutral and calm, and to take the emotion out of these business decisions, and you lead with ego and tell them how great you are, what you're doing, or your beliefs are better than theirs. Like that's going to not only turn people off, but it's going to turn business away.
Yeah. Hero marketing is really going to be a tough sell going forward right now. Cause you know, the consumer market was saying,
happy, over so happy point. About that. Cause that hero marketing is such garbage and you can see right through it.
Yeah. It's tough. You know, that the whole thing for me really boils down to like surviving a big shift like this when something like this happens. And listen, it's abrupt, right? Like, even though we had some indications that this was coming, if we're being really honest with you, this was a very abrupt change, a very abrupt shift. It was an emotional shift. It was an industry shift. It was an economic shift. There was a lot that was happening. And responding to an abrupt shift can be difficult because of the emotion and the fear and the anxiety that it stirs up. But it really does boil down to me when we're shifting like this, it is about becoming more engaged, more committed, and bringing more effort during this time. Because it's very, very important to survive shifts. I mean, let's be honest. A lot of people out there that are running real estate businesses are not making a ton of money. They are living closing to closing. And you don't have the luxury of just stopping, right?
Well, real estate teams run normal profit percentages to like a restaurant. Like they are a month away from going out of business at the highest level because there's a ton of money going out as well as money coming in.
Yeah. Yeah, there absolutely is. So, you know, if someone was to tell me, so what do I do right now? Like, how do I get involved? How do I get my career footing back? I'm telling you right now, like the landscape has changed and this might come down to your environment. It might come down to, you know, your team, your brokerage, whatever it is, but the people you surround yourself with, they've got to be adopting the same mentality of I'm here to take action. I'm here to be engaged. I'm certainly aware. I'm supportive of the people around me and I'm absolutely committed to education and action every single day. The future will be carved out by that group of people. It'll be carved out by the people who set, here's the new direction. Here's the new commitment, the new standard that it's going to take to not only survive in real estate, but thrive going forward. Be one of those people. You can lead that. Anybody listening on this call, you can be one of those people because you don't have to have some sort of special talent to get engaged. There's no special talent standard to commit to education. Like these are just choices that we make. And I've taught this before. I think that there's three components that are very important for people to understand. Every day you choose the actions that you take. You choose that. If you're not taking action today, like that's your choice. You choose the mindset that you have. If you're not taking care of your mindset, if you don't have a positive mindset, if you don't have a plan of action to take your business forward, that's your choice. You've chosen not to do that. So you choose your actions, you choose your mindset. And the last one is you choose your environment. The people you surround yourself with, the message that you hear, all of that is going to facilitate or be a facilitator for your growth. And those three things are important. Actions you take, the mindset you have, and the environment that you're in. And I've always taught those three things in one of our courses, but right now I feel like they might be the most critical for agents looking to either regain footing for their career or start their career. Those three things now have to be at the top of your priority list on a daily and weekly basis. And I would almost go to say, and I know you and I have talked about this, we've had to trim some of the nonsense. And we've had to really narrow our focus of who are our coaches, who are our mentors, who are we listening to, who are we surrounding ourselves with? Because in a world like today where there is every opportunity to engage in negativity or victimhood every single day, if you get caught up in that, what you focus on expands. Even if you're trying to argue and you think you're trying to make a change or whatever, what you focus on expands. And we took that to heart. We narrowed our focus and said, who's growing? Whose mindset is right? Who's going where we want to go? Okay, doors are closed. This is our group of people. This is our environment.
Yeah. You got to curate the content you consume.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I do think it's important to note that through all of this, our results ended up being better than they've ever been before. We've seen greater results, but a lot of that has to do with the actions we took. We sped up the actions. We got really purposeful. We narrowed our focus, just like you said. So case study wise with our real estate team, things got better. They didn't get worse. In terms of business, too,
they got better for some and worse for others.
Exactly. Yeah. True.
And this is why
I don't mean to be insensitive around that.
Yeah. And we can speak to that, you know, firsthand is, you know, this whole thing challenged a lot of people, and a lot of people did fall away for a lot of very righteous reasons, actually, right? Like, you know, you're not able to drop your kids off at school and go to work anymore. Like, there's new challenges that come up with this. So, you know, what we have noticed is the people who have committed to engagement and education and showing up on a daily basis and staying absolutely committed to their goals and their work, they're thriving. The people who and that includes some of the people who just can't, you know, that includes a lot of our people with kids, right? And yeah, that includes you and I. Mm-hmm. But the people who are plugged in with great regularity are thriving right now. The people who are not plugged in right now are absolutely falling away. Mm-hmm. And I think that's industry wide. There's 1.3 million real estate agents in the United States. We were talking pre-pandemic about that number falling to 700,000 over the course of the next 12 or 18 months. If that's not, you know, true now, I'd be surprised that that number doesn't get a little worse. Mm-hmm. And I got to be honest with you. I really, truly believe this. It's because of the lack of commitment. It's because of the lack of engagement, awareness, the supportiveness in education. It's got to be a part of what you do. It's got to be a part of your commitment to the work. You know, the idea that real estate is easy, and it's all about freedom, like that's a lie. Like all of that's a lie.
Well, real estate is simple. It's not easy. Just because it's simple doesn't mean it's easy.
The opportunities in real estate are incredible for those willing to work for them. And working for them is actually really not that hard. Most of it's just about consistency, right? And that's a big problem too, is, you know, you see a lot of people, they can work with great intensity for a week or 2 weeks or a month or even a quarter, but can't pull the consistency together for more than 3 months, right? Yeah. And that's consistency is just so much more important than the intensity that we work with. Mm-hmm. Because we're building something that is sequential by nature, and it takes that consistency. Like, time is such an important ingredient in success.
Well, it also takes that stress tolerance, which is so critical through this time. Like, and also learning how to time block at home and learning how to time block when you're not in that normal business 9-to-5 structure. That stress tolerance is a new path as well that everyone's learning how to navigate, but it's so critical.
Yeah. And there's really no like big magic thing, right? Like, I know someone asked me this yesterday, what do you think the most important thing for you has been since working from home? It sounds really silly. My morning routine is exactly the same as it was when I was going into the office. Exactly mm-hmm. the same. I get up, I do the exact same thing. I'm in the shower by the exact same time. So why are you showering? You're just going into your, you know, to your office in your house. It's like, it doesn't matter. What I'm doing is I'm creating a routine for myself to keep my engagement high. I'm owning my engagement right now. Yeah. I'm saying that this is important. This has to remain a priority for me. So that's all I've done, is I prioritized it.
And you got to make sure your mind's right before you get to work. Like, if you're rolling out of bed and hopping on a Zoom meeting, are you fully functioning? Is everything firing the way it is? If it is, then more power to you. I wish I could do that, but I'm with you. I need to have that morning routine. I need to do everything to prepare myself for the day so that I can engage and fully plug in. When I'm working with intention. I'm working with a purpose. If I don't have that purpose, I feel lost. And that's where the stress does get me. That's where the uncertainty does get me. That's where the fear does get me. But I know if I'm working with intention and a purpose and I know what I'm doing every single day, I stick to my time block, I feel good. I feel ready to go. I feel ready to take on the world, and I feel ready to move this thing forward. Even if it's just a little step that day, I know I can move it forward.
Yeah, discipline equals freedom, right? I mean, you hear the saying all the time, but it's true. Like in this case, for you and I, the discipline of keeping that priority and that routine gives us the mental freedom to stay away from, or at the very least, to not exacerbate fears and anxieties that are very real for everybody right now.
For sure.
So,
for sure.
The discipline we're bringing to that situation creates that little extra mental space, that little extra freedom to, one, accept the situation for what it is and have a little extra space in there to be creative in the way that we're thinking about moving the business forward, given the new circumstances. Mm-hmm. That being said, let's wrap up the conversation with this. And I'm nervous to have this conversation little bit just because of the polarizing time that we're in right now. But we talked about this. What are some of the new challenges that we're facing today and that we're likely going to face throughout the remainder of 2020? And we've touched on it very briefly a couple of times in this, but what you're seeing right now is a lot more boisterous people around their political and ideological differences. And that's creating some conflict. Certainly I can see it when I log on to social media. I'm like, wow, this is an intense amount of, and I'm just gonna say it, not very constructive conversation on these topics. It's very
polite way to say it.
what we're doing and very ineffectively is we're creating an us versus them, because that's what tribal humans do. We create an us versus them, and then we argue our point, we dig our heels in, and we don't really empathize, listen to each other. The goal is really not to find common ground to stand in. The goal is to listen, I'm right and you're wrong. It's become so important to be right instead of factual. I don't know what facts are anymore. Orwell wrote a book called Orwell on Truth. And it just blows your mind on just like what has happened to truth in the world. But our stance on this is really, if you're leading an organization or maybe you're not leading an organization, you're serving a very diverse group of clients that have different political and ideological views. And what are you trying to accomplish by berating by constantly like just instigating this conversation? Like what's the end game? And we talked about this, our job is not to temper anybody's voice. But our job is absolutely to lead a very diverse group of people that think differently. And I think that's always been something that you have to do. It is now a very, very important challenge that we face going forward.
Well, it's amplified. It's amplified in leadership. We now need to see, we're seeing a lot of people be very vocal about certain things. And we've talked about this together quite a bit, but as leaders, when we committed to leading an organization, we voluntarily gave up the right to have a public opinion around things that are political and things that are based in religion. Of course, when it comes to equal rights and human rights and things like that, it's a no-brainer. We can take stances on that stuff. But when it comes to politics, when it comes to religion, when it comes to any of that stuff, we voluntarily gave up that right in order to pursue the path of leadership. And I'm okay with that. I'm good with that. And I'm happy to do that. As leaders now, though, it's interesting. And it's a new path to navigate as people are becoming more vocal. How do we How do we balance everyone's opinions? How do we create an environment that's really supportive of everyone and making sure that we're encouraging conversation? It's hard. We're not living in a society of nuance right now. We're not living in a society that has much room for a gray area. And as a result, it's hard to facilitate a culture that supports a lot of people, but we're working our way through it. And I think that's the biggest challenge that we're seeing and a lot of people are seeing right now through the conversations we're having.
I just remind myself all the time. It's just like, I don't have to agree with somebody to love and respect them.
Absolutely.
Right. I just don't. I can.
And why would you want to be in an echo chamber like that? Why would you want to surround yourself with people that only say the same thing as you? How will you ever learn or grow? Why do you always want to be the smartest person in the room? You know?
Yeah. And I just think that, if you don't respect people to that degree, it's going to be very difficult for you to lead all people. And, you know, I love the saying that the opposite of leadership is divisiveness. One thing that we always have to do as leaders is, you know, you're not just leading your core group of people. You're leading all of the people that entrust your brand's mission. And it's really not about you. It's really not personal. But that doesn't mean that it doesn't come with its challenges, right? Because, you know, you do have to manage, you know, people of influence or leadership within your organization having very, very strong opinions, not always completely thought through in the way that it's going to be perceived by.
Well, people are reactive. It's a time of reaction.
It is. One thing that I, you know, never wanted our organization or anything that we've been involved with to be is not inclusive. It's very, very important that we are seen as an inclusive company, because that's who we strive to be. Mm-hmm. And now that we have people, even within our organization, even peers, trusted coaches, mentors, and we're starting to see like, oh, that's a pretty strong opinion, or I'm not sure I completely agree with that, or, oh, I absolutely agree with that. It's not serving us to get involved in the conversation at that level from the stance of, you know, our business platform. Yeah. And I think everybody feels like, you know, they're supposed to take this big stance right now. And sure, you should on very, very important topics. Mine's equality. Like, mm-hmm. I'm willing to just put a foot down on equality and ending racism like that. I'm good with that. But beyond that, the complexities, the politicizing of all of the actionable items through, you know, in creating change on that, the only way I can really impact that is through voting. Mm-hmm. So I've got to get more involved and understand our local elections all the way up. Like if I really want to create change, I'm not going to do it by, you know, attracting negativity and being divisive online. I'm going to have to do that in a more structured way.
Yeah. Well, it's also like, you're not going to go build a business by going out there and fighting everyone you meet. Like, you're not going to fight people into working with you. You're not going to argue people into wanting to use you as their business professional. So just approach everything like that. Approach your whole life as you're a trader. You're trading value for an end goal, and everyone's trading and moving up and growing together. If you're not willing to trade information or trade viewpoints, like, then who are you? Are you growing? Are you getting better? Or are you just staying stuck?
Yeah. You said something really important too, is algorithms online, especially as it pertains to social media. If you're engaging in negativity, or even if you're passionate about that, or you're fighting for change or whatever, the algorithms are absolutely built to show you more of that. And then
what you focus on expands. How many times did you say that? That's also how our life works. Like, that's amplified again by social media. It's amplified by technology, and they built it that way because what do they want? They just want your eyeballs. They want you coming back. They want you looking. They want you continuing to pay attention. And if you're focusing on negativity, you're going to see a lot of negativity because they know you'll engage with it.
Yeah. And I think, you know, that's
where by they, I also mean technology. This is not people. This is just technology.
Yeah. And, you know, quite frankly, like I understand that I have some strong opinions and some views and some beliefs and I don't share them online because I know that, like, that's not the right place to do it. That's not a place where I'm going to get, I'm not going to create any progress. I'm not going to create any forward movement on that. I'm going to attract negativity. I'm going to attract a negative conversation. I'm going to have to defend my position. I'm going to voluntarily go down this weird debate, and a debate not really anchored by any facts or anything. And so we don't even know what's real, what's not anymore. It feels like out there. So, you know, you got to find the right outlet for that. And I have outlets for that. And I have, you know, communities that I can plug into for that. But I've just opted not to create an echo chamber for myself online that continues to feed that to me, because I got to protect my mindset. Because if I've got a good positive mindset, I'm working towards achieving goals, I can make a much bigger impact on these things by doing so.
It circles us back around to ease. It circles us back around to making sure that you're focusing on those key aspects of your life so that you can surround yourself with people that are supporting you and allowing you to grow. It's all about community right now.
So that's it. I mean, I think that's probably, you know, that's our biggest challenge going forward is managing that. And I guess, you know, for today, and we're going to certainly be walking this path in a couple of months that lie ahead, and likely for a long time lying ahead, is how do we manage and support, recognize and empathize with all of our people and all their political and ideological differences? And how do we create a platform where they can all meet on a common ground, if not for just a moment or a day or a team meeting or whatever it is, there's a common ground and there's a community here that's all focused on one thing, and that's building businesses, changing lives, having a positive impact on our communities, our clients, our agents, our industry. That's the common ground we want all people to meet on. Mm-hmm. And, you know, as the months unfold, we'll certainly be challenged with new things on this topic. But I think as long as we're ready to listen and stay out of judgment and accept that everybody's view matters very much to them, everybody sees the world through the lens in which they have. And then we just focus on the common ground we can meet on. And that's what we got to do. And that's what I'd encourage all of you to do is don't alienate people. Even if you strongly disagree with them on certain things. I got to be honest with you. There are topics where I'm like, they're a hard line for me. You know, racism being one, that's, you know, we can't continue to work together. If I'm not going to support that, I'm not going to try to understand that. But the rest, you know, there are other things, complexities of the political stuff here, that you do just have to listen and you have to let people voice their opinions and focus on, like I said, just focus on creating an environment where they can meet with other people that maybe don't think the same way they do, but they can meet on some other common ground.
Truth. All right. Well, thank you everyone for listening. Ended on a serious note, but hopefully you got something out of this conversation today. Remember, please go and subscribe to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google, Stitcher, wherever you subscribe to podcasts. Follow us. We're going to continue to put out new content. We're going to continue to navigate our way through this time and keep you up to date with that as well. And then also provide content that helps give you an action plan as well. So thank you, Brandon. And yeah, we're out.
Thank you, sir. Enjoy your week, everybody.